So let's talk about, and really, when I put my title up, Lifting Hands, I'm talking about worshiping God. That's what I'm talking about, worshiping God. And I want to read the psalm. It's a psalm of ascents. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who has made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Very short psalm, you know, three verses, one of the shorter psalms in the Bible. But if you notice in the beginning, it starts off with a psalm, a song or a psalm of ascents. There's a collection of 15 different psalms from Psalm 120 to 134 in the Bible. The psalms are written by multiple authors. David did a few, Solomon did one, and then the rest are kind of anonymous authors who put it in there. And they were at some point, maybe shortly after the Babylonian captivity coming back, they were assembled together under the title of the Song of Ascents because they were sung by pilgrims traveling up to Jerusalem to worship, for temple worship. They would go up to Jerusalem and they would worship the Lord there, and these songs would be sung along the way. Now, because they were real brief and they're repetitive in a sense, they're real easy to memorize and sing during the journeys up to Jerusalem. Now, this is where it gets kind of interesting. As they traveled to worship to the temple, in between there's the court of the women, many different courts, court of the Gentiles, court of the women, but in between the court of the women and the court of Israel, there was these 15, I would say, semi-circular, half a circle steps leading up to the temple, the Levites, interesting, they stood on these rounded steps singing the 15 songs of the ascents during the festivals. Every one of them would stand on a different step and they would sing these. And each step matched one of the 15 songs of ascent or 15 psalms. They were, reinforcing the idea of every step that they took, they would get closer to the presence of God. We know that the temple, the Jewish temple, the center of the temple was the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where everybody would be drawn to. Now, most people could not get into the holiest of holies, but as they stepped up these steps, it was in a way of gaining a closer relationship with the Lord, or coming into the presence of God. For like prayer, like we do. And they would stand, the Levites would stand on the rounded steps, singing these songs, and they would play different instruments too. They'd play the flute and the trumpets and all the different things. Each step matched one of the 15 songs of ascent, like I said, reinforcing the idea of just getting closer to God in there. And this would happen during Passover. This would happen during, the Feast of Trumpets, all the different feasts of the seven feasts of the Lord. It was planned in that way. Psalm 134 is the last psalm of ascent. It's the very last one in the grouping that they grouped together. Only three verses. It speaks about thanksgiving and worship, but it's a reminder, really, not to the people, but to the Levites to remember what they're all about. What they're all about, the servants of the Lord. You'll see that in here. I find it interesting that worship of God is tied to the hip with thanksgiving. If you ever really look at it and you get that worship in your heart, thanksgiving just kind of comes out. It comes out. Or it could be the opposite, is that you're thankful for what God has given to you. In a particular, maybe he reminds you, the Holy Spirit reminds you of something that is really to be thankful of. Worship springs out of heart. So it's really tied together. I don't know if you could even separate it, worship and thanksgiving together. But I find it interesting that, and I would say it's probably inseparable. You know, our national Thanksgiving was rooted in the harvest that preserved the life of the Plymouth colony in 1621. The year before that, they sailed off from Plymouth, England, and they lost half the people the first year. It's pretty bad. If you ever read the true story of it, you know, not the woke story of it, by the way, the true story of it, of how they survived, and they were Christians. They were persecuted in England, and they wanted to flee to America to start a new life. And my family was there, believe it or not. I've mentioned that before. My family was there. Half the people, obviously, my part survived because I'm here today, you know, that I can claim that. But if you ever read the stories, it was heartbreaking. You know, people had to adopt children because both parents died, or the children died and wives had died. And a lot of times that they, when they got down in the Plymouth colony, they would intermarry with each other because they lost a lot. They lost a lot the first year. A lot of them died on the ship, and then a lot of them died. But anyways, there was this great harvest. It's true that the local Indians did help them. They had a really good relationship with the Indians of that particular area. They had a good relationship with them, and they helped them. They all celebrated that Thanksgiving together. There was a lot of deer and the harvest that they had, and they were rejoicing. So our national Thanksgiving was, though, it rooted in all that. In 1863, right smack dab in the middle of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln declared a national day of Thanksgiving. It would be the last Thursday of the month. Listen to some of the words he said, though, and he did a speech on this. "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens." Now remember, we're at war with the South, and the South is at war with the North, and pretty brutal times. More people died in the Civil War than any other war that we ever had, because all of them were Americans. But listen to what he said, because he wanted to unite the country. He says, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens," that would be the South or the North, either way, "in every part of the United States to set apart and observe the last Thursday of Thanksgiving next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our favorable Father who dwelleth in the heavens." It was a very Christian, Abraham Lincoln was a Christian. So let me just read this again, a song of ascents. "Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." I just want to look at three different things. Each verse carries a little bit different tone. The first thing is a call to worship. The second thing is about lifting hands. I want to speak about lifting hands. And then blessings from God is the last verse. So that's verse 1, 2, and 3 in that order. A psalm of ascents. This is verse 1, a call to worship. "Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord." This is a very interesting scripture. It's interesting to me that the last psalm of ascent is not directed at the common person. It wasn't directed at the average Jewish worshiper, but it was directed at the Levites in the temple. It was directed toward them. He says, "Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord." The Levites were the workers and the servants in the temple of God. I found out over the years, and I found this interesting, I found out over the years that as we serve the Lord, if you're in service to God, we sometimes forget that the thing we wish to give to others, we ourselves forget. It kind of gets buried in the background because the busyness of life. But look, the psalm starts off with "Behold," and that is directed to the Levites that are in service to get their attention. Behold, that you've seen Jesus even said that in some of his scripture and the different studies that he get. And this is directed to the Levites that are in service to get their attention. Behold, and that's what he's saying, behold the servants of the Lord. I was thinking about Mary and Martha, sisters of Lazarus, serving the Lord. We see that in Luke chapter 10. You see it in the Gospel of John. I want to read that. I want to read the little story because I think it's important to understand where God wants us to be. He says, this is in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. You know, the Levites had a tremendous job serving the Lord. Sometimes up to 1 million people would come up to the temple during the feast days. And you can imagine 1 million people just coming up, and Jerusalem is bustling. And there was always busy. They always had a handful at their hands, whatever they were doing in the temple. It would be very easy to forget what they were doing. What was their service all about? You know, Jesus reminded Martha the important thing about our service to God, our service to our brothers and sisters. He says, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. That command here is to the Levites or servants of the Lord to worship God. Bless the Lord, worship God. They were busy with their service, and that's always good. You know, Jesus didn't criticize Martha's service. He just said there is something more that he wants in our life. They were busy with their service, always good, but service can never replace the most important thing in our lives. Jesus told Martha that the one thing is needed, and then commended Mary for that good thing that Mary is spending time with the Lord, spending time listening to his word. It says, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. I like that part, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. You got to think about what the Levites were doing. They were in service to God in the temple. Maybe this was a very big holiday, the Passover or Feast of Trumpets, something like that. But I was thinking about the busyness of the day for the Levites. I mean, they were really busy. You had musicians, you had singers, you had those that stood on the steps welcoming the people, all of that. You had the porters, those were guarding the different gates and the entrances. You had the hard labor of those offering the sacrifices. I've gone to a slaughtering house when I was a young kid. My dad, I don't know why he did it, but he liked to do that with me, you know? I don't know what it was. It was okay, you know? I love cheeseburgers to the day, so it doesn't matter. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to slaughter cattle or the different things. And they were doing this, you know, these are a prelude to show us that it was necessary for the death to bring forth forgiveness of sins, all that. But you had the hard work of those offering the animals up. You had the dishwashers. You had dishwashers cleaning the pots and the utensils of the service to the Lord. You had the people picking up the garbage, all of these different things. You had those keeping up with the lamps burning. That was never to go out. The lamps in the temple, they were never to go out. They were to keep burning all the time. You had people making the incense. This was a busy time. It was always busy you had the bakers. They were making the showbread, you know, the shewbread for the temple. So think about it. Early morning, all day, it would be a constant flow of service for the people of God. And then almost a gigantic bomb, nightfall would hit. Nightfall would hit. And he's talking about those that serve in the house of the Lord at nighttime. Everything goes silent. Maybe you'd hear an echo of footsteps, in the courtyards or something like that. Those in service, you know, standing by night in the temple. I was thinking about this. What do you do with your fellowship with God when that comes upon your life, that nighttime. I think a lot about things at nighttime with my relationship with the Lord. But, you know, you think about these hardworking people, these Levites, the servants of God, and how they, it kind of stopped in the, and what it is that this psalm is being directed toward those in the night watches, in the night watches. And I find it interesting. What are your thoughts in the night watches toward God? What is your fellowship with God? You know, all of this psalm leads to provoking the servants of God to worship God and be thankful for the things that he's done. So where do your thoughts go in the night watches? Here's the reminder. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who by night stand in the house of the Lord. So I had to put myself in their position of what's going on. But there's a little bit more. There's a little bit more. The lifting of hands. Here he says the lifting of hands. Lift your hands. He says, bless the Lord. Now he says, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now this is at nighttime where there's not a lot of activity going on. It's you and God. It's you and him alone. Someone recently asked me, is it okay to lift our hands during worship? And I understand that there's a lot of temperaments here. Everybody, you know, some people raise their hands. Some people raise both hands. Some people, you know. You ever see that video of the one guy that, the comedian? Anybody ever saw that? That's a funny video. I'll have to shoot it to you guys, but it's funny. But I understand there's different temperaments. People aren't always expressive. It takes me a lot to think about. I'm kind of a conservative guy. I don't wear turkey shirts, right? You probably never get, I don't know, someday maybe I will. Maybe I'll borrow that sometime and your baseball cap too, you know. But I'm kind of conservative, but I do. I lift my hands from time to time as the Lord prompts me, as the Holy Spirit prompts me. Some of you are more expressive than others, and that's okay. Maybe you've never lifted your hands ever in worship. So let's get that over with. Everybody, raise one hand right now. Everybody. Everybody has to, okay? And keep that up. Praise your Lord. Keep it up, all right? And now, the other one. Come on, get the other one up. Aren't you glad we got that over with now? So you can do that anytime you want. You can do that. It's interesting because the night watches, the lifting of the hands at night would be a personal expression to God. There would be nobody around. There might be a few guys hanging around together, the guards or the porters or different things like that. But it was a very, you know, nighttime is a very personal time that we have with the Lord. Some people, maybe the mornings, but some people at nighttime. I always fall asleep thinking about my day. Do you guys do that? You guys fall asleep thinking about your day? Sometimes it keeps me awake, which is not good. That is not good. The night watches or the lifting of the hands would be a very personal expression to God, blessing him and thanking him. That's what the hands are about. That's what the hands are about. Blessing and thanking God, and it's you and him alone. It's just you and him alone. That's all. Like Mary sitting before the Lord in worship and fellowship. It's the same thing. She's lifting her heart toward the Lord, sitting before Jesus, listening to his word, enjoying the fellowship of God. And, you know, we got Martha. Martha, we need Marthas. We need Marys in the church. But the lifting of hands always has been an expression of thanksgiving and worship in the Bible, always. So it's acceptable to lift your hands in the sanctuary of the Lord or our little sanctuary here. That's fine. Nobody's going to ever look at you the wrong way. But like the ascension of those, they're walking up the temple steps, we reach up to God to go into his presence. That's what the lifting of hands is all about. You're lifting your hands to the Lord because you're going into his presence. Now, we think, you know, God is everywhere, but we tend to think and we see in the Bible that the Lord God is in the heavens. He's in the heavens. We don't know where that dimension is. it's outside of probably space and time and everything else, but when you lift your hands to the Lord, and or you lift your heart, let's just use your heart. You're lifting your heart. You're going into the presence of God. You're going in to speak to him about your problems. You're going in to be thankful for the things that he's done in your life. You're going into him requesting more things be done in your life that you need. Everybody here knows what they need. Everybody knows what they need. I know what I need. I've got probably a long list of things that I need. But what we do when we go into the presence of God, we go in with thankful hearts that he's able to do the very things that we're asking him to do. He wants to do the very things that you're asking him to do. And he's cooperating with you to get that. He's given you the Holy Spirit to be able to do the things that you need to be able to do. But it's, you know, the lifting of the hands or the going into the presence of God, it's an expression of our gratefulness to God, our gratefulness to our God. You know, we don't have to wait to worship. We can do that anywhere. You can only use one hand if you're driving, though. You know, don't use two. Keep your eyes open, too. So it is. I mean, I worship in my car or my van or whenever I do. I start singing. I don't let anybody else know what I sing like, but I'll sing. Yeah, I'll sing a little bit. But it's our expression to God. I mean, the most important thing, Jesus says this, Martha, you got a lot of stuff on your mind. She's chosen the best. And the best is when we sit before the Lord, and we listen to his word and we worship him. It's always a private expression of thanksgiving, too. I hope it would come from our hearts and we would contemplate his goodness. That's a really good thing. What are they thankful for? You know, they might be thankful, I'm thankful for my husband. Okay. But, you know, you can't be thankful to an inanimate object, you know. Thank you for a book. It goes to a person. But the real thankfulness goes to God, because God has created all things. He's created all things. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So finally, the last verse, it says, the Lord, who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Bless you from Zion. I thought about this, and immediately the scripture in 1 John came to my memory. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, we are the children of God, and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The power of God in our lives, the power of the resurrection, the power of the grace of God has brought us into a relationship, a personal relationship with God, a personal relationship, a one-on-one. I don't think people understand that until they can really do that, where they can come into his presence, lifting their hands, blessing the Lord in the night seasons, in the day seasons. The power of God has brought us into that relationship with him. We are all, by the new birth, Mary's first. We could be Martha's once in a while. We need to be Martha's once in a while. We need to serve, and the Levites needed to serve. If there was no service in the temple, it would have, you know, God even made that possible by giving it to one tribe, the Levites itself. So we are all by Mary's, by new birth. Now, I find it interesting, there are three commands in the Psalms. Two are for us, and it says, bless the Lord, right? That's us. And then what's the second one is lift your hands. Those are both expressions of worship. And the third is a declaration or a command that comes from God himself. bless you. That's what he's saying. Bless you, the Lord who made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion. And that command, it carries a lot of authority. He says, the one who made heaven and earth. That's the authority where it comes from, the blessings. It's not like somebody made it up and attributed it to the Lord. This is coming from God to you. Bless you, and I've made heaven and earth, so it's a blessing. So it carries a lot of authority. It is in the Lord, and the everlasting creator, the universe, commands a blessing from Zion. You know, Zion is going to be, it's right now, it's expressed in the scriptures as his seat of power from Zion. You've heard that. The Lord from Zion. It's going to be his seat of power in the millennium. Zion is going to be his seat of power. Jesus Christ himself, the king of all the earth, is going to be seated in Zion. But right now, he says, bless you from Zion. So it's a seat of power blessing you. Our God has a desire. I don't know if you knew this, and you need to believe this. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you his grace and his love. One of the interesting things, and I challenge people to think about the grace of God in your life, is that when you discover the grace of God and you really realize it, it changes everything in your life. Everything is possible with God. Everything is possible with God. Forgiveness of sins, a joyful life, a satisfying life. Everything is possible. And it comes from the grace of God. And it comes from his love. Grace comes from his love. That's what it comes out of. He wants to bless your life. So understand that what God has for your life carries in us a heart of thanksgiving. When he blesses you, it creates in you a heart of thanksgiving. It creates in you something that we can only claim if we know the Lord. You can be thankful for a lot of things, but when you are a Christian, a born-again Christian, and you have that Mary in your heart where you're born again and you love the Lord, it creates a heart of thanksgiving in your life. This is short, so we're going to end it here, because I know you guys, I can hear like rumbles of stomachs right now, you know. Oh, that was mine, right? That was mine. So we've been talking about lifting our hands to God. You know, we looked at a call to worship at the servants of the Lord. That's all of us. And the lifting of hands. One more time, you guys. One more time. Come on. All the way up. All right, man. Yeah. Praise the Lord, right? All right. And then finally, the blessings from God. You know, those first two things, a call to worship and lifting the hands, cannot come unless God has bestowed his blessings upon us. And he has bestowed his blessings upon his servants. The world does not know true thanksgiving, but we do. We do. We have that in our hearts. So let me just read Psalm 100. It's not a psalm of ascent, but it's a psalm of thanksgiving. And I've given a study on this before. I always love this. Let me just read it and we'll close in prayer. Psalm 100, verse 1. It says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that made us. And we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Can everybody say amen on that? Amen. Amen.